Hello, I'm just going to keep hang on here for about 5 minutes just to see if anybody that's listening has a question. If the caller on the on my screen here at area code 484, if you have a question, just click one, press one on your touchpad, on your telephone keypad. And if so, state your name and the question is. I hope you enjoyed my presentation on the withholding issue, W-4 exempt certificates, and so forth. And we have another caller. Caller, if you have a question, be sure to press 1 so that I know you have a question and we can put you on. Otherwise, I'm going to go to the... Okay, somebody has a question. Area code 310. State your first name as soon as we put you on, and what's your question? Oh, and how you found out about Freedom Law School. So you're good. Hi. You're there now. Hi.
Hey, Ben. Hi. I think I spoke with you before, Benny, about signing the, I think it's the W-4 form where you sign under penalty of perjury, but you mentioned on page number 5, and I'm sorry, W-9. Yeah, W-9. Is it a question that, can I ask that question about the
W-9? Oh, the W-9, uh-huh.
Yeah, you mentioned, okay, yeah. I just want to confirm it again, that on a certain page, page 4 or page 3, it said that you're not required to sign unless, so it gives categories. I just wanted to confirm that again, because I have an attorney reviewing everything. I'm gonna sign. I'm completing the W-9 as a faith-based organization. Okay.
Okay.
I have all my, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed, and that's done correctly. But I want to bring up to her, because she mentioned she would help me to fill it out. But I wanted for sure to let her know, and I still have your notes for before, that that section where I have to sign is not required. That's all.
Okay, great. So let's go to irs.gov. I've got it on the screen here. I don't know. Can you see it?
Yep.
Can you see this, the computer? Yeah. So I went to irs.gov, uh-huh. And under forms and instructions, I'm going to go to the W-9 down here, and mm-hmm. I'm going to first click on the W-9 to open that, and the instructions here for form W-9 for employers, their instructions for issuing the form W-9 and requesting employees mm-hmm. to fill it out. So I'm actually going to go to the form W-9 itself, which is 6 pages mm-hmm. long. And everything but the first page is instructions. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to expand it here so that we can look at it better. Okay, so the first thing that we see here that people are all often tripped up by is on line 1, you see where it says name as shown on your income tax return.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people misunderstand that and think that that means their name, their personal name, if they're filling it out for their company. Mm-hmm. So you said that you have a nonprofit.
Well, there's a few things. It's going to be a common law trust. That's going to be filling the W-9.
A common law trust.
Right.
Does it have an EIN number?
Yes.
Employer identification number, which is a federal taxpayer identification number. Okay, so if it does, then that would be the name. If you were to file a tax return, income tax return, you would put the name of that entity there,
mm-hmm.
not your personal name.
Right, right.
The mistake people make is that they see line number 2 here where it says business name, and so they put their business name in there, like your trust or whatever it is. And what if they don't read the whole thing. It says business name / disregarded entity name if different from above.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're to read, if you were to finish reading that, you would see they're just talking about a trade name or service mark or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a frequent thing that mm-hmm. people get wrong. And then your other question was about signing it. And here under part 2, certification, says under penalties of perjury, I certify that 1, 2, 3, 4.
You lower the page.
Lower?
There it goes. Oh, now I see it. Yeah, now I see it.
Okay.
I think that the on the computer, it's lagging. The phone is lagging from the computer. I think it's a little bit.
Oh, different. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's where people also make the mistake of just, well, there it is. So I guess I have to sign it. Well, they don't bother to read the instructions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you go down to the bottom of page 4, right here, where it has the instructions for part 2 certification, you look at the graph here that says signature requirements, complete the certification as indicated in items 1 through 5 below. So then 1 through 5 is here at the top of the top left of page 5. It says interest. Number 1 is the important part here is something, an account you opened before 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's hardly anybody, so you can pretty much ignore that. In any case, it says you do not have to sign the certification.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2 is the same thing, but accounts after 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And that's referring to interest, dividend, broker, and barter exchange accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there that you must sign the certification or backup withholding will apply. But and we're Freedom Law School is planning on doing lawsuits to challenge that because all of these things for the most part don't apply to most Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be taking steps to see what we can do to bring about freedom in this area. But in any case, most of the W-9 forms are being not by interest, dividend, broker, and barter exchange accounts, but by this other payments here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that next. But number 3 is real estate transactions. I just worked with somebody that has a closing coming up next week, a week from today, and they are being asked by their closing attorney to sign ironically enough, not even the W-9. They actually have the 1099-S for real estate transactions that they're adding a penalty of perjury thing to it and requesting that they sign it. So we're writing a letter to the closing attorney about that. I was working on that a lot today. But anyway, in that case, it's saying that you must sign the certification. And most payments are this number 4, other payments. And it starts right off saying you must give your correct taxpayer identification number, but you do not have to sign the certification unless you have been notified that you have previously given an incorrect taxpayer identification number. So that's very seldom the case. I mean, you know what your Social Security number or your employer identification number are, so you're not going to make a mistake there. So for the most part, people don't have to sign these W-9 forms, and that's just something we learned here at Freedom Law School, because we're constantly trying to help people understand these forms and the laws. So other payments include payments made in the course of the requester's trade or business. If you look at the petition to Congress, the third one that we have on our website, under right, keep yourself free petitions, at the bottom. The self-employment taxes and 1099s, that petition to Congress, it's all about the business tax laws. So that relates to self-employment, income tax, and information reports. And that term trade or business is found in section 7701, paragraph A26. When used in this title, the term trade for business includes the performance of the functions of a public office. And then we explain in this letter how that really means the public office, and how the word includes there. Really, in this case, because it doesn't use the word means anywhere in the definition, the word includes stands in for the word means. So the term trade or business actually means the performance of the functions of a federal public office, because there is nothing else included in the definition. Anyway, I suppose that's a long way of explaining. But back here on this Form W-9 instructions, the only remaining thing is mortgage interest paid by you, in which case you don't have to sign there either. And that's an interesting thing there. That's not a payment that you're receiving. All four of these first things are payments that you are receiving. And they're asking you to fill out a W-9 so that they can snitch on you. So they can send this misinformation snitch report to the IRS saying that money that we gave you is taxable income, even though we know that it's not in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
But number 5 is mortgage interest paid by you. So it's when you pay a mortgage, then the lender wants to have your they actually make a report on themselves saying that the mortgage interest that you paid them is taxable, which we know that's not, but in most cases, unless it's some kind of mortgage related to the District of Columbia or the federal government in general. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, will this be recorded, today's call?
Yes, it is, and you can always go on Facebook. We always leave the live streams, a full live stream, the whole thing on Facebook.
Okay, I'll go back and review the notes for today, and then I'll communicate that with my attorney, all the notes. But she already put things in a, you know, tack. I mean, even though I know we're dealing with District of Columbia, whether it's a person or the self, I kind of put myself through common law paperwork to already be tax exempt by the nature of the common law contracts I'm working with. The only thing I didn't want to do in the W-9 was for the certification to sign. That's the only thing that she may not be aware of, which I'll communicate.
Okay, and this is an attorney that's helping you do that?
Yeah, she's on the white hat side, the good guy side. She knows. She's pretty good with all the stuff to keep people out of liability and with the Darth Vader.
Oh, okay. Well, would you mind calling us tomorrow sometime and sharing that information?
Who that is, sure.
We can look into.
Yeah, let me talk with her and just let her know that I'll be calling you and talking with you and that.
Okay. Yeah, because we're always looking for good attorneys that know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
I personally, Payman already studied some of these things out to his own satisfaction, I think, but I'm still interested in researching about things like business trusts and PMAs or private membership associations and things like that.
Yeah, and I'm very fascinated with the two, so I'm doing my best to study. But I'll let me speak with her this week or whenever I can, and I'll introduce your organization, and then I can call you or payment. I can call you because you know who I am, and then I can let you know.
Okay, and could you share with us your first name?
Yeah, Michael.
Michael. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Long time ago.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Benny. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay. Is there anyone else that has called in that wants to ask a question? If so, please press 1 so that we know you want to ask a question and we'll put you on. Otherwise, just wait a minute or so here, because it looks like the two callers that are on right now, they don't have their hands raised, so we don't think we have questions from them. And so press 1 if you have a question. And we'll answer it. Otherwise, we will end this broadcast and we'll be here next week. Okay, let's go ahead and end it. Oh. Oh, a new caller? Oh, okay, I see there's a new caller. You want to press 1 if you have a question? Okay, we have a question from area code 530. Go ahead, state your first name and how you found out about Freedom Law School.
Hi, my name is Loic, and I actually spoke with you before, and I had another question. I found out about you guys through a podcast that I was listening to called Defund the Matrix, and that's how I heard about you guys.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And what's your question?
So I'm still trying to work it out, muster up the courage to do this, but we have 6 months to file our taxes because we got like an extension in the state of California till October 15th. I've been trying to figure out like how to handle, I own a business and I'm on the payroll with my partner. And so that like goes through the IRS with QuickBooks. And how do I handle that aspect? So I don't know how to like handle it in this interim period where I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to move forward with you guys.
Okay. Well, there's two ways of handling it. One way is if it's necessary that you be considered an employee, you're a partner in the company?
I'm the owner.
I mean,
you are the owner. I'm an owner.
Okay. Well, you could, instead of receiving, and let me ask you this. Is the other owner also an employee?
Yeah, I mean, we both get a salary.
Okay.
And we're an LLC filing as an S-Corp. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, that helps me to understand. Is it a California LLC?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a California LLC, and you've filed with S-Corp status for S-Corp status from the IRS, and they granted that. So what that means is that as a California LLC, your LLC is eligible for pass-through on tax reports if you were actually if the LLC was actually liable to file and pay income taxes, federal income taxes, they would also be liable to file and pay California income taxes because California is one of those piggyback states where the laws, income tax laws, follow the federal income tax laws. And so the only reason that you are currently considering yourselves employees is for income tax for your income tax, lowering your income tax. You've thought so far you've had to pay.
I believe that's correct. Yeah,
so that's how the tax preparers, they've figured out that it's kind of like a loophole where if you get a salary, then that's considered, let's see here, the rest of your income, do you get other income besides your salary? Do you pay yourselves dividends or, I should say, distributions from the LLC?
Yeah, like if the business has a good, we also have a few investors that own like 10% of the company. And so if we have a good solid amount net profit, we will pay out some K-1s and we'll take out some for ourselves.
Yeah. So the way the tax preparers, the reason the tax preparers that you worked with probably to prepare this LLC and get the S corporation status, and then they set it up so that you're paying yourself salaries, that's for the purpose of reducing your capital gains, reducing your income taxes. I can't remember the convoluted reason they give for doing that, but I had an LLC years ago that my tax preparer did the same thing. But since once you understand that you are not required to file and pay income taxes anyway, then there's no need to consider yourself an employee. And the fact that you're considering yourself an employee, that the company, you know, LLC, you've agreed with your co-owner that you'll do this, and that has the LLC paying 7.65% of your wages to the federal government from the LLC, and another 7.65% from your paycheck. And there's nothing you can do about that unless you stop being an employee or you convince your the other member of the LLC to not do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
So if you can get the equivalent in an additional dividend every month or whatever pay period, every quarter or however often you want to do it, the same schedule as he or she is giving themselves the salary, if it's a weekly or biweekly salary, give yourself a dividend check of the same amount plus 7.65%. And that would be the equivalent of what the other owner is getting.
But whenever we pay ourselves outside of that salary, we're supposed to give the investors 10%.
Whatever you pay yourselves outside that salary. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So, well, like, we're also trying to figure out how to, like, work this all with QuickBooks, because we do want to keep track of everything that we're doing in QuickBooks.
Give your investors 10% of those dividends than to give the U.S. Treasury 15.3%. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Your investors will appreciate that, and it will be doing your part to defund the federal government, which isn't requiring that by law anyway, and certainly doesn't deserve it in many people's opinion, a growing number of people's opinion nowadays with all the mischief that they've been doing for so many years. It's been coming to people's attention because of the last 3 years, the events of the last 3 years, which I will not name.
So we already we just found out about you guys, I think, like in early March. And so we already paid our salaries and paid the taxes and all that for January and February. If we were to, like, you know, decide to, you know, stand up and say, hey, we don't owe this, does that matter? Does that affect anything? That could that cause any problems?
So each tax year is a separate event. And as far as the LLC is concerned, you can stop reporting the income that the LLC gets to the government as soon as possible. As soon as you can convince your co-owner, the other member, that makes sense by law to do that. Mm-hmm. You're in the state of California. Is your business a bread and butter? I'm sure I have notes about all this, but is it a bread and butter type? I mean, I'm sorry, is it a bricks and mortar type company where you have a storefront or something like that?
No, I mean, we're not, we have a warehouse where we store all our goods, but we're not open to the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I recall this. So, you could, I think I've answered your question about that previously. It's the state of California is, even though, like I said, they piggyback off of the federal laws, they are very difficult. They enforce their interpretation of the income tax laws in their favor, and they'll do things that the IRS doesn't even do. They have very harsh tactics. California, we call it.
Uh-huh. And so since we already in 2022 paid all our payroll taxes and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
And do you think like it would be better to start a fresh slate for 2023 and not file, or still not file 2022?
So the thing is, there's you've got the LLC, which is currently filing, and then you've got you personally, who is considering not filing. You haven't filed yet for 2022, and you're considering not filing. You can continue down this path and continue educating yourself on our website, our videos, and so forth, and the laws on the government's own websites and as interpreted by the Supreme Court rules that they use, rules of interpretation, decide not to file for 2022, even though the LLC reported or misreported that those payments to the federal government as income, as if it was taxable income. Whenever you can, if you can work with your co-owner to have the LLC stop filing any kind of federal tax paperwork, then that'll make things easier for you next year. When you don't file 2023 taxes,
taxes,
federal
and then
taxes.
Okay.
Now, the decision as to whether or not to file California income taxes is a separate decision, just because we have a lot of students who decide to go ahead and file California income taxes just so they won't have to deal with the hassles that the state of California will give them.
For state income taxes for what? For their personal income?
Yeah, both personal and, yeah, and the company.
So they'll ongoing, like, students of yours will ongoing year after year pay the California state tax but not pay the federal income tax?
Well, and there's things, yes, and there's also students who are able to arrange things in such a way that they're no longer in the state of California. They're no longer operating as a business in the state of California.
Well, that was my next question, because that was one of the things you and Paymon had mentioned that we should do is set up in another state. And we were wondering, if we go ahead and do this with you guys, how long would it take to, you know, set that up, like our business in another state, and get a registered agent? Or
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A resident agent.
Well, and, you know, I don't, that's a longer discussion that we've started already, and that we can go further in that. So
okay.
I think that's all I really want to say about that at this point. And we
okay.
have another caller, Marcus. Can you switch? So call me back another day, and we'll complete that discussion.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. You're so welcome.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. We have a caller on area code 971. Go ahead and say your first name only and how you've been in law school.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. This is Lisa, and I heard from online, social media. And
okay.
I called last week and Paymon sent to scan in, which I did scan in today, which is probably too late to go through because I just sent them in today, so I'm not sure if you guys even received them. But I basically got a letter, and I wanted to say that I took a notice of demand of payment, but I'm going to appeal it. But I was wondering what is recommended to send with the appeal letter that I send back to them. The thing that I was thinking of was, you know, like there's a letter that you guys, on step 5, where you send a petition to Congress. I was thinking of like using kind of that verbiage, unless if there's something else that you guys recommend. But when I go online, it says, after reading the downloaded file, I don't see it on step 5. Where would I find that? For like the letter to send to them.
Well, okay. So the letters, the petitions for to Congress, that campaign, which you can find on our website. I'll show you. Oh, it's up there. It's under the right tab. You click on Keep Yourself Out of Prison Petitions. That's where that is.
Yeah.
And then you would scroll down and read the instructions there and send that off. Now, those petitions, which you see the three different petitions on your screen right now, those are written, designed to keep you out of prison. But those are not the arguments we use for civil cases. So whenever you're dealing with a demand letter, that's a collection type letter where anything related to money, where they're trying to collect money from you, that's not a criminal case, although they could later on try to use it to create a criminal case against you, but right now that's just a civil matter. And we don't use these same arguments for the civil matters. So you got this notice of demand. That's a certified mail, right?
No, they didn't do certified mail. It was just a regular letter. I think it's just a canned letter, but it's like the third letter that I received.
Okay.
Second one basically says I have 90 days to appeal it or file a tax return, but I'm in a state where it follows the federal state taxes.
Okay.
Because it's a state that the letter is from my state. And then
the
letter
from
basically
your state.
Says,
okay, I see.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the letter was from your state. So it's a notice of demand from your state. And it wasn't certified and they're giving you 90 days.
Yeah, if I want to appeal it or file a tax return. So I was just going to appeal it, but I didn't know what to send, like what verbiage or what I should send to the appeal when I write my appeal letter to them.
Well, it's possible. I without looking at the letter, I wouldn't really know. And so let me just... the state, but this is the IRS. I'm going to show you on our blog articles this article we have called Progression of Letters the IRS Sends Out. And I'm going to look for the states often have similar letters. But if all they're asking you, it's not certified and they're just asking you to file a return, most likely you can ignore that.
Yeah, and I did. That was the letter that I got in February. And then I got one in March that said notice of demand. And then they started to remind that I needed to pay. I should have paid last week, but I didn't pay because I'm going to file an appeal. But it did say something to the extent that I need to, if I don't pay, then they'll issue a distraint warrant for the amount owed, and they basically said it's not an arrest warrant, but it's a distraint warrant, which basically is just my wages, keep my refunds or federal refunds, or record the distraint warrant with the county, which places a lien against your property. So that was the latest one I got. Mm-hmm. I didn't pay this.
Okay, so we would also want to see why they're sending you this letter. We would want to know that. Did you file a state income tax
return? Yeah, I sent all the letters to the questions email, but this is in regards to 2019 tax return.
Okay. So was that a return where you confessed to owing the money? And
I didn't file anything. I actually called them and said that basically since they have records that I have.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to hear you.
Whatever they.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So they estimated a certain amount based on the information reports that they got?
Yeah.
I see. I'm not sure when you sent the letters, but they didn't come to me yet.
Okay, well, I just sent it during the call, so that's why I was thinking you wouldn't have gotten them. I know you guys probably, I should have sent it way earlier, so I apologize. But I did send it in. I can call back next week, but I was hoping that there would be a way to go right away to get it going. And I'm planning on doing all the seven steps as well, doing the petition to Congress. But I do want to send them a letter. Something that has the verbiage of what that you guys would recommend.
Well,
or if you guys already had a letter.
So what we would do is, if you were a student, we would prepare a letter for you if it was recommended that you send a letter. in this case, I'm not sure it would be recommended at this point since they're just asking you to file. Except for you said there was a demand letter. So, yeah, again, without looking these things over, I don't really know how to advise you. And what I would also point out is that on our Get Help page, which I'm going to pull up here, this probably wouldn't be answered by any of the seven steps or our FAQ page or our videos or our blog, because it's a state income tax issue and it involves actually looking at these letters that you got from 2019, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you took this other step of tuning in here. Really, when it comes to looking at paperwork like this, either you need to wait until next week when we have a chance to look it over, and we can answer your question for free on next Thursday night call, or you can send in $250 or $500 cash for a one-hour consultation, either with one of us. The $250 is for a one-hour consultation with an experienced activist such as myself, or we have a couple others also that can help you, or $500 for a one-hour consultation, private consultation with Paymon. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Okay, you're so welcome. It looks like we have another caller at area code 484. Please say your first name and how you found out about Freedom Law School.
Good evening, Armandino, and from Stu Peters.
Oh, okay. Great. And what's your question tonight?
So I'm on the ADP app, gone through it a couple times, and I figured I'd call and ask. Obviously, we're a non-resident alien because, I'm not from the District of Columbia. I live in Pennsylvania, and I'm not a federal worker. So I hit yes to, are you a non-resident alien? And then I continue to proceed to the next steps, and it has, it goes from 10% to 100%. And it says, do you claim exemption from federal income tax withholding? And I try to hit yes, but what it also does say is you can only claim exemption if you owed no federal income tax last year and you expect to owe no federal income tax this year. Caution, this is rare, but it doesn't even let you select it. So then I go down. As an exclamation point says, claiming non-resident alien NRA status means you cannot claim exempt. So does that mean that I'm going to have to put in that?
You don't want to claim non-resident alien individual in this case because the employer considers you, you are a U.S. citizen for nationality purposes, and the employer considers you be an employee. And so that's why we have on our website where you can, under the page here, free yourself from income tax withholding. We have a 16-page form and also a cover letter here at the bottom of this page that I have up on the screen right now. And so when you are on the ADP website, if you unclick the box where it says that you're a non-resident alien, you'll go to the regular W-4 form process where they'll probably take you through all the, jump through all the hoops saying you're single or married or whatnot and different things like that, which they're not supposed to do, but they usually do anyway. But anyway, you'll get to some place where you can check the box that says that you're exempt. You can answer the question that yes, you had no liability for income tax last year, and you don't expect to have any this year either.
Got it. Yes, so that's the whole point of the paperwork, is that regardless, you have to select that you are not a non-resident alien in order to get to that, that step, basically.
Right, right. So because you don't have, they don't give you an opportunity, most likely, to turn in the 16 pages there on online, you'll probably have to go through this process that we have for you here. The instructions up here says, when claiming exempt on the company's online payroll system, mail the cover letter below with the 16-page W-4E package by certified mail, so that it has detailed instructions on exactly how to do that so that you're legally covering yourself. And
okay.
down here is where the cover letter is, and then the 16-page package. And so you go there, and you can fill it out. You just put in all the information here and print it out. And if you were a student of Freedom Law School, a Restore Freedom Plan member, then we would have you send this in to us, and we would keep it in our files.
Right. Yeah, so I plan on becoming a member. I was advised to the W-4 to my employer first to see if I have any, and then if everything's a go, I'm going to go ahead up with you guys. But I first wanted to see if there's going to be any issues. It's a private company, so I figured it's probably going to be no issues. I, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm assuming public companies have more of an issue with the letter lock?
What do you mean by public companies? Talking about government?
Well, in terms of the letter lock, is that what it's called? Where they
lock-in letter?
Yeah.
A lock-in letter. That's just sporadic, a letter that gets sent sporadically once in a while, not very often. Takes about a year or two before they would possibly send that to your employer. The IRS would send that to your employer, and employer would think that they need to obey that, and it's very difficult to get out of that.
Right. Is it... Do you see it more common with private companies than public, or it's just rare altogether still?
Well, if anything, it would be more more frequent with – it's not very frequent at all. It's very rare, but more frequent, I suppose, with like military contractors. Or. But I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to it.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah,
well, thank you for your help.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For all you guys do.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for calling, and glad to help. Okay. Well, that's it for the Freedom Hour, and we will talk to you next week. All right. No, I'm slow.